Amen. Well, it's good to be in church tonight. Always good to be here. I love preaching here. It's definitely my favorite place to preach here at home. And I'm just excited to preach. Hope you're excited to listen. And won't take much time of your time tonight. And, you know, I thought about preaching some different messages, but tonight I just want you to, my message tonight is going to be on burning hearts and serving souls. So, burning hearts and serving souls. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. And like I said, don't worry, I won't take too much of your time. We've only got to go from Genesis to Revelation, and I've got about 17 points. So, no, I'm just kidding. But I heard a joke the other day. I was listening to some preaching, and this boy asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, why is the preacher, what does it mean when the preacher sets his watch up on the pulpit when he gets up to preach?" And the dad said, "Well, it means absolutely nothing, son." And lucky for you guys, I forgot my watch. So I'm not lying. I really did. But I'm not going to take too much of your time. I don't have a lot to say tonight, but this passage right here is a great passage. And I'll just start reading here in Luke chapter 24. But before I do, I'm going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. So bow your heads. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for everything you blessed us with, God. And thank you for just the opportunity to preach, God. I just want to be a blessing, Lord. Just be with these people, Lord, and just open their hearts and their minds, Lord, and get me out of the way, God, and let your will be done. Just let the book do the talking, God. I'm going to love you and praise you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight, the main thing I want to talk about is burning hearts and serving souls. And just as a way of introduction, have you ever in your life felt like your heart isn't as on fire as it was before? And we've got a lot of people in this church who have been serving for a long time. We've got a lot of young people who are serving now. And you can still lose your fire if you're a young person, and you can just get caught up in the world even though you're 16, 17, 18 years old. And then you serve the Lord so much when you get saved at Bible school or church camp or whatever, all the things that we got going on here. And then you're 18, 19, 20 now, and then it's your decision to come to church, and your fire is going out. And then you've been here for years and years and years as just a faithful member, and you used to teach Sunday school, but now you just come and listen, and it kind of goes in one ear out the other, and your fire is going out. But tonight I just want you to get that heart, or your heart back on fire for God, and then get that soul to start serving the Lord once again. So tonight we're going to look at two passages mainly here. We'll be here in Luke chapter 24 the majority of the night, and then we'll be in Romans 12:11 later on talking about serving souls. But here in Luke chapter 24, we'll start in verse 13, and this whole passage I just want you to think about finding your fire again. And we're going to look at a couple of disciples here who lost their fire, but then they got it back. And I've got a few points here just to look at on not only how they lost their fire and then how they got it back, all right here in the same passage. So we'll start reading here in verse 13. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened." And this, just for the context's sake, this is what they were just singing about. Jesus had just, this was the third day after Jesus had been killed and then put in the tomb. This was the third day. This is when he was resurrected. It's that same morning. So verse 14, "They talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" So here, these two characters here, they're talking, and they're talking about everything that's going on. How is it today in today's world? We get so caught up in talking about how everything is going on. And then Jesus shows up, and he asks him, "Why are you sad?" Verse 18, "And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." How many times in our life have we either been walking away from the Lord, but then we start to ask for something, and it's been a few days, and we're not getting an answer, and then we start to get a little anxious. As they're saying right here, it's been 3 days, and he's not back yet. What are we going to do? It's been 3 days, and he's not back yet. Verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they had found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, O fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken, and not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they had went, and he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, or for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and they vanished out of their sight. Verse 32 is the main verse for tonight's message. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? If you want to get a burning heart back in your soul again, if you want your heart to be burning again, it's right there in verse 32. You got to walk with him. You got to talk with him. You got to. It's right here. It's all in the book. No matter if you're walking away, no matter how many days it's been, no matter what you've went through, no matter what's going on in the world, and all the things that people are talking about. I mean, this past month has been crazy. Everybody's been talking about so many different things and everything that's going on, and then you just kind of forget about Jesus. And even though he's right there beside you the whole time, and you just leave him by the way. But we're going to look at a few places where they went wrong right here, how they lost their fire. Number one, they stopped seeing Christ. In verse 15 and 16, it came to pass that while they communed together in reasons, Jesus drew near to him and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So there we see that they didn't see Christ. Even though he was right there in front of them, they didn't see him. And how many of us in our own lives would say, you know, we get so caught up in the world, we get so caught up in all these things, and we see Jesus, and he's right there in front of us. He's trying to help us through a trial, or he's trying to help us through this or that or whatever it may be, and he's right there in front of us, and we can't even see him. And we're asking, Lord, where are you at? And that's what they were doing right there. They were saying, Lord, where is he? It's been 3 days, and he's right there beside them, and they don't even know it. You're in a lot of trouble whenever you stop seeing Christ in your day-to-day walk. Whenever you stop reading your Bible, when you stop praying, all this stuff, and Jesus is right there. I mean, he's right here every day. If you just leave your book if you just leave this Bible in your car and let it collect dust over the week, he's right there, and you're just leaving him by the way. He's always right there no matter what. And if you just forget the Lord, you're forgetting the wrong things. And because he's always there, no matter what, he's always going to be there for you. But now, even though they were walking with him, they didn't recognize him. A lot of Christians say that, oh yeah, I walk with the Lord, and they say, I'm a Christian and all that kind of stuff, but their walk says otherwise. And even though Jesus is right there with them, they're not acting as if they're a Christian. And when that fire goes out, we lose sight of Christ's presence. So point number one there, they stopped seeing Christ. Point number two, they were sad. They had a sadness about him. Look in verse 17. And this is Jesus, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So they're sad about everything that's going on. You ever had a bad day and you've been a little bit sad? You ever had a bad day and you just, you know what, Lord, I just don't feel like going today. I'm just a little upset. You know, you lose a loved one, you figure out about cancer, you figure out about all these things in your life, you have health problems, all these things, and you're just sad. You're just down. And you're just down in your Christian life and you don't know where to go. And then guess who shows up? Jesus shows up. He's always right there. He's always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always right there no matter what. He's always going to be there by your side. But the thing that you have to worry about is when your flame starts to go out, that joy of the Lord is what fades. Whenever your flame in the heart starts to go out, your joy starts to fade. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're losing your strength in your Christian walk, it's because you're not close to the Lord and your heart is sad. And because you're so far away from the Lord that you don't have that joy anymore because you're not in the book, you're not praying, all the things, that the boxes you're supposed to check, all that, right? And it's because that flame is starting to go out. And I hope that tonight, I mean, just looking at these things, I mean, these are very simple, just simple things that Christians just kind of push off to the way, but they're big deals. I mean, little foxes that spoil the vines. I mean, we're just talking about just seeing the Lord in your day-to-day life and just seeing the Lord whenever you're in the valley. He's always the Lord. God's always the same God in the valley as he is on the mountaintop. If you can't see him through the hard times, then you shouldn't be able to see him through the good times. So you got to see him through everything, no matter what it is. You got to see him through every trial, through every tribulation, through every mountaintop, through every great success that you have in the Lord, for every opportunity he gives you. You have to see the Lord no matter what. And this is a big one. Point number three here, not only that, number one, they stopped seeing Christ. Number two, they were sad. Number three, they were stuck in the past. How many Christians get stuck in the past? How many Christians get stuck in their old life and their old ways, their old past, and the things they used to do, especially, you know, talking about drugs and addiction? But it doesn't even have to be that serious, right? They're just stuck on watching too much TV, or stuck on watching, catching up on whatever it is, and you're stuck in the past, and you don't know, and you're just there, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about him. Jesus, that I remember that guy. And you're just stuck in the past, and you're just stuck in all those things that you used to do. Verses 19 and 20, and he said unto them, what things? And notice the way that this verse is worded here. Jesus says, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty. They had already just kind of counted him off. They'd already, it's past tense. Like, he was here, yeah, but now we just gotta find a new king, right? Gotta find somebody else to trust in. That's kind of what we do as Christians today, or in this world. That's how the world is today. This somebody goes on, and then we're like, all right, who's next, right? Who's next? Who are we gonna? What idol are we gonna worship next? What TV show is gonna come on next? What everything? You fill in the blank. Whatever it is, something's gonna be in the way, and you're just gonna get stuck in the past. And you say, you know what? That it just has been. Jesus was something that fueled my heart and burned my heart. But now, right? You're just stuck in the past. You just can't move on from the past and say, you know what? He's still there, no matter what. But continuing right there in verse 19, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So you see the past tense there, right there, and you see how even as Christians we can get stuck in the past, and we always just can't. You have to put the past behind. You can't be a living in the past Christian. You have to be someone who just moves on and puts that behind you, gets rid of those burdens, and just get your heart back on fire for the Lord and start serving the Lord. And you just have to start serving the Lord and get out of the past. You can't keep rehearsing what had happened, and you can't stay trapped in yesterday. If you stay trapped in yesterday, you'll never be able to move on to today. And instead of moving on into what God is doing with you now, if you stay stuck in the past, you can never move forward as a Christian. God will never be able to use you if you just never take that next step. And this picture right here is a perfect example of that. If you stay right here and you never take it, the power of you stepping away, right? Whether you get stuck in the past, whether you get sad, whatever it is, whatever this match is right here, you can see it on that poster right there. You can see how it just takes one thing to get you out of the way. One thing to lower you down, or one thing just to get you out of your walk with God, whether it be sadness, all these points. It doesn't even have to be these points. Whatever it is in your life that gets you out of the way and stops your fire for God, you better get it fixed tonight, whatever it is. And you just can't be stuck in the past. Don't be a stuck-in-the-past Christian. And you can't be trapped in yesterday. And then we also see number four, they were second-guessing. And they were in verses 22 through 24, we see this, and how we see that they were, how the people had said that Jesus wasn't there anymore, and they're like, well, is he really not there? I mean, we've got to go see for ourselves. They said that he's not there, but they didn't really see him. So, I mean, is he really raised from the dead, or did somebody just move his body? I mean, you see all these things, and they're just kind of second-guessing, right? That's what the devil will do to you. It'll make you start second-guessing things, right? It'll make you start second-guessing if you should read your Bible in the morning, right? Or if you should get up early and read your Bible, and the devil will start putting those thoughts in there like, hey, you know, you could get your coffee first and then read your Bible. You know, you start second-guessing, yeah, you know what, I'll just go get my coffee. And then you go make your coffee and all that, and then you get down and you start to read your Bible, and you say, well, I can come back to this. I'll just drink my coffee and I can go wash these dishes or whatever it is. And then you're just second-guessing everything. You're like, oh, yeah, I was going to read my Bible, but I'll do it later tonight. And it's a constant cycle of just second-guessing and just saying, am I really supposed to do this in my walk for God, or is that just kind of like a suggestion? Yes, you should do it. No matter what it is, you should do it. It doesn't matter if it's reading your Bible, praying, whatever it is. If you have to question it, yeah, you should probably do it. And if it's something you serve in the Lord, you should do it, no matter what it is. You shouldn't be second-guessing, oh, maybe I'll just put it off to tomorrow. No, you can't do that. You have to just say, serve in the Lord, and you can't second-guess yourself. Just keep on fire for the Lord and keep your heart burning for God. And we see all these things, how they were sad, and they were stuck in the past, and they couldn't see Christ anymore, and they were second-guessing. We can see all these things right here in this passage on how they lost their fire. But the good news is we can figure out how they got it back again. So it's like a compare and contrast right here. We're going to take those four things. I'm going to give you four more things on how they found their fire again. And number one, they talked with him, right? Number one, that's the first thing. Luke 24, verse 17, let's look at it. And we keep in mind, we just read this verse, and we had a different connotation on it. It had a different context as we were just talking about it. But if we flip it around and really think about it, all they did was just start talking to him. And as you keep reading, I mean, this is a pretty long passage. We read a lot of verses. But as you keep reading and you see what this turned into and the process of how Jesus turned their lives and turned their hearts and turned their minds and said, you know what, I'm still here no matter what. Today, as a Christian, you have to realize he's still here no matter what's going on. If you're just here in this, just imagine yourself here in this passage no matter what. If you're walking away from the Lord, he's still here. And you just have to get back into the swing of things and realize that Jesus is still right there drawing near to you. He's drawing near to you, and he's saying, I just want you to be a part of this ministry. I want you to be a part of this ministry. Do this for me. I just want you to do something for me, but you just keep walking away. And we can just see right here how Jesus lights that fire again. He gets them fired up again. So let's look right here. But before I do that, before we start talking about this, I've got an illustration. And I hope it works. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I put them up here because I don't want them to be down there on the carpet, because I asked Brother Dilber if we had a fire extinguisher, and he said he didn't. No, I'm just kidding. But, no, I'm kidding. But I meant to, I was going to light these a few minutes ago, but I started talking, and I'm going to put this somewhere safe. Let's put it on a paper towel. That's a good idea, isn't it? It's wet. Don't worry. I wet it before. Don't worry. If that starts catching on fire, there's exits. So just make your way. No, I'm kidding. But anyways, there's a baptistry up there too. So if we have to, we'll get some water from up there. Is there any water in there?
No.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, so can somebody hit these couple lights up here? Is that possible? Can somebody back there do that? So we can see this a little better. It's a little bright in here. So now, as I was talking a second ago, all the way to your left, I think. Hit that one. Can you hit the other one? Next one. The next one. Hit both of them. Oh, there we go. Those. Okay. Okay, whoa. Okay, that's good. Okay. All right, don't fall asleep on me. Okay, so now we can see these a little bit better, right? So as I was talking a second ago, before we move on to how to get your fire back, I want you to see how easy it is to not only step away and lose your fire, but how easy it is to get caught up in these different things that I was talking about, right? So as we can see, these are the same exact candle, right? I bought them at Walmart. They're both $2.72, okay? They're the same candle. Nothing is different from them. They both smell like unscented. They don't have a smell. Just kidding. So anyways, these are good for nothing candles, all right? Just like you're good for nothing Christians, all right? You lost your savor, all right? Anyways, so I'm kidding. But you got these candles right here, and there's nothing different from them, right? This is just imagine these two disciples, right? And you don't even have to imagine. Just imagine yourself, really. And at one point, this is going to be your heart that's always on fire for God, okay? And this is the one that starts to fade, okay? And I tried this once, so we'll see if it works. But actually, Billy Jack's done this before, but I'm more worried about the demonstration later. But as we look at this flame and we see how when we put this cup over it, you see how it starts to slowly get darker, right? Hopefully. So I can't tell. I'm looking through mason jar. So see how it's almost out right there? And I lifted it up on purpose because that's how it is whenever we go through these things and we see that you start getting sad, right? And then the world starts to kind of come in on you, right? And you start losing your breath and you start losing your oxygen. You start losing your fuel, right? Because that's what fuels, oxygen is what fuels fire, right? And what you can see is once you start to get sad and you start to get discouraged, you almost go out. And then I'm not going to let it go out because I don't want to light another match because I'm afraid I'm going to catch this place on fire. But you can see my point here. And then you start getting stuck in the past. And then you start getting worried about everything. And your mind's so confused. And you get so caught up in everything. And you can't see the Lord. And then you start to slowly fade out. But don't forget about this one, right? This one's still on fire. Why? Because it's not worried about those things. It's still serving the Lord. Its heart is still serving. Oh, I went out. But anyways, so I hope you can see my point there that I'm going to light it again just because I like fire. But no, I'm just kidding. But anyways, you can see here how easy it is just to get just a little bit covered up at work. Just a little bit covered up in your, get a little bit behind in your Bible reading. You get a little bit behind in whatever it is, and then the devil will just start putting more stuff on you. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that go on in people's lives, and it's so easy to start to fade. It's so easy just to start to burn out. And I hope that nobody's heart is starting to look like this. I hope that everybody's heart is just flaming and going and going and going and burning and burning and burning. I hope that nobody's heart is about to just go out. I hope that your fire for God is still there and it's still burning and it still burns and it just keeps burning for the Lord no matter what, because I've been talking for about 5 minutes right here and this one is still going. And 5 years down the road, I hope to see each and every one of you still here, still serving, or going somewhere else and still serving. And you're still here and you're still saying, Lord, I know that even though I'm sad, I know that even though sometimes it's hard for me not to forget about my past, even though I start second-guessing God, I'm still here, and I know that you're still here with me, and I need you just to draw close to me, Lord, and get that heart in my fire burning and keep it burning, God, and just help me just to serve you. Help me just to serve you, Lord. I just want to serve you and be that person that you can call on. And the Bible says in Ezekiel that he sought for a man. I wonder if the Lord's looking for a man tonight. Oh, the Lord's looking for a woman. He's looking for somebody to fill that gap. He's looking for somebody with a heart just to be on fire for God and go somewhere, do something, be a missionary. I don't care. Whatever it is. Is your heart like this or is it starting to fade? I hope that it's still burning, it's still strong, and it's still going strong, because notice, it, even though it went out once, it can still come back again. Just because you ain't been here in a few weeks or you've not been here in a few years or whatever it is, and you get out of church and you come back and whatever it is, the Lord's still going to be here. The people are still, the preacher's still going to preach, whoever it may be, and you should still be here serving the Lord no matter what. You should still be here having your heart on fire for God and getting your soul right to serve the Lord. Burning hearts and serving souls. You have to realize that no matter what, you just have to stay on fire for the Lord. And now, how do you stay like this? Right? How do you stay like this? Or now, both of these. This is going to be your fire for the Lord. Your heart should always look like these two candles, always burning no matter what. There's nothing. You got that hedge of protection about you, and you just can't, you shouldn't be able to fade in whenever you start doing these things. Look at verse 17, I was saying a second ago. They talked with him, right? You have to stay talking to the Lord, no matter what it is. You have to, if you want to keep your fire burning, you have to talk to the Lord. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? How many of you have ever been, you know, upset in your life, and then, you know, Jesus came and he just said, hey, I got you. I'll pick you up, right? Like Jeremiah, he pulled Jeremiah out of that pit. And the Lord's always going to be there to pull you up, pull you out, whatever it is. He's always going to be there just to pick you up and say, hey, just talk to me about it. But oftentimes we get mad at the Lord and we start shaking our fists at the Lord and say, it's all your fault or whatever it may be, right? And we don't talk to him whenever problems start coming up. And that's when you start losing your fire. But if you stay talking to the Lord and you just work through your problems with the Lord and through the Bible and just in prayer and supplication, all these kind of things. And the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If you want to stay close to the Lord, you got to talk to him. You got to pray with him, because that's what keeps your heart. Through prayer, supplication, you have to apply these things. You have to pray. You have to keep all these things in your mind. And that's what keeps your heart going, is just praying and just saying, Lord, it's tough right now, but I need you just to stay with me. Or draw near to me. Help me just to keep burning, God. Help me just to stay on fire for you. Not only that, they traveled with him, right? In verse 15 it says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You got to stop walking away from the Lord. No matter what it is, you've got to start walking the wrong way. Because, I mean, you got to think about this. I mean, if they really wanted it to be Jesus, right, and they really wanted him to be the Redeemer they were talking about down there in those verses down below this, I would be looking for him. I mean, really, I mean, think about it. I mean, if they say he's not in that tomb, I would be saying, let's go find him. If he's alive, then he was right. I want to go follow that guy. But then they walk away. I'm afraid that most of us do the same thing, right? Even though we know that he did get up from the tomb, and then we know that he did die on the cross for our sins and all these things, but then we start walking away. And that's how you lose your fire, when you start walking away. But then Jesus, he's like, hey, get back over here. I need you. I need you to start serving me and get your heart on fire for me. I need you to do these things. And we see that as he drew near unto him, these two people right here. And so we can see that here. It's simple. It's just right here in the passage. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand this. All you got to do is just talk to the Lord and stay close to him. And then not only that, you got to start turning the pages. And the Bible says to go back with travel with him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's Hebrews 13:5. But number three, you got to turn the pages. And being at Moses and beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he just opened that book, said, hey, you know what? I know you might be walking away from me. You might have your heart might be a little bit, starting to calm down a little bit, and you're not getting as much fire as you was before. Let me show you something about me, though. How many of you ever read Psalms and you start seeing, those verses about just praising the Lord and all this kind of stuff? Say, hey, that's still the God that I serve. That's still the God that I serve, and that's still the God that I want to serve every single day. That's what picks you up, and that's what keeps throwing wood on the fire, is whenever you get in here and you get in this book and you see that Jesus Christ is the only one who can keep your fire lit. And once you just realize that he is the only one, this book is one of one. And we all have one sitting in our laps, but the words are still the same. And these words is what change your life. These words is what guide you, is what show you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Anyways, that's where you need to be. This book is where you need to be. And if you ever start walking away from the Lord, you get sad, you get stuck in the past, all these things, if you'll just start turning these pages, and you'll just start looking in this book and say, God, I just need you to show up for me. He's always, every time I've looked for an answer in this book, it was right there. Black ink on white paper. Right there it was. Jesus, plain as day. Right there he was. And he said, you know what, here, if you need help getting through this trial, right here it is. Right? And I mean, I don't know if many of you know this or not, but the government shut down. Today I got put on furlough, so I technically don't have a job right now. I'm not going to work. But I started looking at this message, and I started preparing this, and I started looking at all these verses, and I was thinking, well, it doesn't matter. If I have Jesus Christ, then no matter what, I've got a message to prepare for tonight. Even though I went home early today, and I didn't get to finish my day at work, and I'm not going to get paid for however long, and the government shut down, I've still got the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all I need. If you've got nothing else in your life, if you've got nothing else going your way, and all this kind of stuff, no matter what's going on, if you can just sit down with this book and say, you know what, God, everything else may be going the wrong way, but no matter what, I know that all your paths, he shall direct thy paths, right? Trust in him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that is it. That's what you have to understand. If you just get in this book, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, if you just get in this book and start turning the pages and say, you know what, God, no matter what, I'm here. I'll do it for you. No matter what it is, I'm sorry if I was walking away, all these things. You get here and you say, you know what, God, this is it. I mean, this is all I need is you. If the only thing you have is the Lord, then you've got all you need. And, you know, that's it right there. You just got to start turning those pages. You got to talk with him. You got to walk, travel with him, all these things. And not only that, to go with turning the pages here, this is a really good verse. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of thee nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. His word was burning inside my heart. It shut up in my bones. It was in my heart, and it's burning fire. It was in you got to get this word in your heart, because that's what burns this flame. That's what you keep putting that kindle on the fire. Keep throwing the wood on there. If you want your life to start looking like this and not fading, you got to get in this book. You got to get that fire in your heart. You got to get that word, the word of God in your heart. And Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want to get in this book, it's going to cut you. And it's going to get you right down to the heart. But that's how you start. You know what? You got to think about it. You got to cut firewood, right? I mean, you got to cut it, and the Lord may take you down, but then he'll start building you back up again. He'll start putting that kindling on first, and he'll start putting these bigger pieces on, and then you're just serving the Lord, doing all these things, and your fire is growing, and it's like spreading like wildfire, right? Over there in James, it says how great a little matter of a fire, a little fire kindle it or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is, but just a little bit. It takes just a little bit of spark, and it's just, whether it's from the book or just talking to him, praying to him, walking with him, all these things, you can look like this no matter what. You can just start serving the Lord and just be on fire for the Lord no matter what. Number four, you got to tell the world about him. Okay, in verse 33 to 35, it says, "And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." I mean, you got to think about that too. Jesus literally sat down and broke bread with them. And not only that, and then whenever they realized it was him, they seen all this stuff going on, and they just went and told everybody they seen. They said, "He's risen. He's here. Did you guys see him? He's really here. This is really, he really did what he said he was going to do." If you want to get on fire for the Lord, you better start telling some people about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, if you want to get on fire for the Lord, and you just leading somebody to the Lord, you talk about something that'll get you fired up, no matter what. And if you've never led somebody to the Lord, you're missing out. And you better get on board, and you better start recruiting. You better start putting your line in the water. You better start fishing. You better go get something. Just, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the story, not to brag about myself in any means, but, I mean, if you just ask the Lord to put somebody in your life, if you just ask for an opportunity just to talk to somebody, every time I've done that, he's done it. And sometimes people got saved, sometimes they haven't. But about a week ago, somebody texted me, and they said, I played ball with him in school, and it had been about a year since I had talked to him. And he said, "Hey, preacher." That's what they call me. They call me preacher. So that was my nickname. I was like, whatever. But anyways, that was much better than a lot of the other ones. So I was like, praise the Lord. But he said, "Hey, preacher, you know, you was always talking about the Lord and everything, and I never really paid much attention to it because I would always pray before the games. The coach wanted me to pray before the games in basketball. And he said, you know, when you prayed, you talked about getting saved and getting close to the Lord. And he said, I want to get close to the Lord. And I was like, well, I mean, have you ever been saved? And he said, no. And I was like, well, good news for you. I can show you how to be saved. And he said, well, I want to do that. He said, I want to get close to the Lord. He said, but I said, well, the first thing you got to understand is that you got to get saved first. He said, let's do it. I want to do it. So he called me. I showed him some verses and all this stuff, and I went through the whole process. And at the end of that thing, he ended up just getting saved, and praise the Lord, because it had been, I had never even thought about that. It was just another game. I was just saying another prayer. But you never know what's going to happen whenever you start telling the world about Jesus Christ. You have no idea what fire is going to spread whenever you start getting up in front and taking a stand for the Lord and saying, you know what, today I'm just going to talk about Jesus Christ. And you never know who's going to hear, where it's going to go. You never know what kind of spark is going to get lit, what kind of fire is going to start, if you just make a little bit of mention about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I mean, that made my week, man. I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. And he ended up getting saved, and now he's going to be in heaven. And it's just because nothing of my own. I mean, this was right after the revival. I said, Lord, I mean, just help me to witness some people, start saving some souls. God, I'm hungry to save some souls. When's the last time you prayed that? When's the last time you said, Lord, just put somebody in my life that I can just witness to? I mean, Lord, I don't have to get saved. Just help me to give the courage up to just give a gospel track or lay a gospel track on the table or put it somewhere where somebody can see it. I was at work the other day, and I seen some of those sticky notes. I don't know who did it, but I was at work, and they was on our big bulletin boards. And everybody goes up and looks at them because that's where you hike. All right, and I seen those up there. I was like, praise the Lord. Somebody is telling somebody about the Lord. And, I mean, they released the numbers yesterday, and we had 728,000 visitors last year, I think, in 2024. Man, you think about that. If those sticky signs stayed up there for a whole year, 728,000 people could have seen that. And that's a little bitty piece of something that could just spark and just get going and get going. And is that possible? I don't know, maybe, but it's better than not trying at all, right? It's better than just sitting back and saying, oh, yeah, I'll give out a track one day. It's either day one or one day. And you got to understand it's either day one or one day, because you're just going to keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until you finally start doing it. And until you start doing it, you're never going to look like this. You're never going to start burning. You're never going to have that fire in your heart and all these things. And you just have to realize that once you start telling somebody about God, it'll get that fire going in your heart, and you'll never want to stop. Because once you start leading somebody to the Lord, or just talking to somebody at work, that gets you excited. That gets your heart burning for the Lord. And so those four things there, that's how they got their fire back. They talked with him. It's simple, folks. I mean, this is not some deep doctrinal stuff that you have to grasp tonight. I mean, these kids can understand this. All you got to do to get close to the Lord is talk to Him. Travel with Him. Get in your Bible. Start turning the pages and start telling the world about Him. I mean, that's basic Sunday school stuff. We see it right here in this passage. And that's how Jesus lit their fire back up. He said, you know what? Just get back in the book. Start talking to me. And all these kind of things. And then we see him there in verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Right there it is. It's that simple. But now, I've got a few minutes left, and we're going to talk about serving souls. And you can turn the lights back on. Sorry, forgot about that. It's getting a little dark up here. but that's better. I can see now. I was doing all that from memory, by the way. This second part of the message I want to talk to you about is serving souls. So go to Romans chapter 12, and I'll wrap this up. This won't take long. So we've been in Luke, and now we're going to be in Romans, so we've only got 64 more books to go. So I'm just kidding. But Romans chapter 12, verse 11. So once you do get your heart on fire for the Lord, and they want to spill that wax. And once you get your heart on fire for the Lord, and then your soul is hungry and your soul wants to start serving the Lord, and that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. I've just got three simple things right here. Now, we'll read this verse right here, and verse 11. So Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So, simple verse here. Not a lot of words in that verse, but I'm going to take everything that's in between these commas and that semicolon there, and each of those is a point, okay? And once you start getting on fire for the Lord and your service starts to increase, these are the things that your service should look like or how your service should continue and all these things, right? So, as we look at this right there, as we look at serving souls, we see that... We see, number one, the energy of service, right? Not slothful in business, okay? The Lord doesn't want to use a lazy person, right? I mean, you read through Proverbs, you read all about sluggards and all that kind of stuff. The Lord doesn't want to use a lazy person. If you're just being lazy, and not only in your walk with God, but just in general, right? I mean, you should have a job, right? I mean, if you're old enough to have a job, you should have a job. You should be working. Whatever it is, I mean, you fill in the blank, right? I mean, if your yard needs to be cut, go cut your yard. I mean, if you're a man in here and you haven't cut your yard in whatever, how many weeks, go cut your yard. Be a man and just go cut your yard. I mean, cut the grass. If you don't, I know a guy who cuts yards, okay? I'm just kidding. But anyways, kind of. But go cut a tree down or something. Just go do something. Don't be lazy. Don't just sit in the house all day and just watch TV or watch Sunday football or whatever it is. You don't need none of that junk. Go poke something with a stick. I don't know. Be a man. I mean, just be a man or be a woman. Whatever it is, do something. Don't start switching, ladies. Not preaching that. But if you're a woman, you know, you've got things that you got to do. Go to your job. Do these things. Whatever it is. You know, I mean, go shopping. I don't know. Whatever. Just don't sit around all day. Don't be lazy. You've got something. You've got a business to be in. And then talking about the Lord, I mean, you've got something that you can just say, you know, I've got to get some energy about me. Fire, right? You got to get that fire about you in your service and just not be slothful in business. Jesus Christ is still in the soul-saving business, so we should still be in the service business. We should still be in the business to serve Jesus Christ no matter what. Not slothful in business. Don't be lazy. I don't like lazy people. Sometimes, I mean, you know, working with different people in different jobs over the past few years, lazy people get on my nerves, okay? And I would imagine the Lord probably doesn't like lazy people either, right? Because whenever I work with lazy people, it just gets on my nerves. And I could imagine the Lord looking down and seeing somebody sitting on the couch instead of reading their Bible or praying or something. I'm like, you sluggard, get up off the couch and go do something for me. So you got to have that energy of service. You got to get your energy up. You got to get your service going. And not slothful in business. You got something to do. Proverbs 24:12 says, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it and keepeth thy soul? Doth not he know it? And shall not render to every man according to his works. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Notice how I'm still talking about your heart here. Because that's what keeps your service going. That's what keeps your heart burning. All these things go together. Burning hearts and serving souls, they go together. And you have to get that. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Just serve the Lord with your whole heart. Get in there and don't be lazy. Just get your heart in it. Get your soul in it. Just start serving the Lord and just start serving Him. And then number two right here, fervent in the Spirit. And I've heard the definition of fervent before in different contexts, but I looked it up in the Webster's 1828, and it says, the first definition is hot. I was like, well, that fits good with the message. And I was like, well, I'm going to put that in there. Hot, boiling is fervent water, warm in feeling, and then earnest, excited, animated, glowing. That's fervent. That's how you should be, not only in your heart, but also in your service. You got to have some sort of enthusiasm about you. You got to be fervent. You got to be excited. You got to be hot in your heart, and then just burning for the Lord in your service. Have that enthusiasm about you, right? Psalms 9 verse 1 says, I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Psalms 84 2 says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. If you want to get fervent in the Spirit, you got to get your heart in. You got to keep your heart burning, all this kind of stuff. You got to have that energy. Don't be lazy. You got to be fervent in the Spirit, always serving in the Spirit, having that enthusiasm of service. And then number three right here, serving the Lord. That's all you got to do. You got to be an example. You got to be an example of service. You should be an example of a good Christian. You should be an example of how to be on fire for God. Because when somebody looks at you and they can see, that's a good Christian man, that's a good Christian woman, and they can look at you and say, you know what? I want to be like them. That's how you be an example. And since it's youth, this is a great verse for this. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be an example, young people, old people, I don't care, whoever you are. Be an example for Jesus Christ. Be an example for Him in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, all these things. Let no man despise thy youth. Don't despise this life that you have. Don't let anybody say, you know what, you're too young to serve the Lord, all this kind of stuff, or you're too old to serve the Lord, whatever it is. Be thou an example. Tonight, each and every one of you should be an example. Be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what, no matter what, I'm just going to be an example in my service and serve the Lord. And then how do you be an example? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The Lord has heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. If you want to serve the Lord, you got to get your heart in it. You got to keep your heart in it. You got to keep your heart burning. And I hope you're seeing the connections I'm trying to make here. You have to. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. Man, that's a good verse for this message, isn't it? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. If you don't get nothing else from tonight's message, get your heart right and get your soul right and just start seeking the Lord. If nothing else, just say, you know what, God, I'm just going to serve you. You got to get your heart right. And then it's almost 8 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and start closing up. But you got to keep that fire alive, right? No matter if it's in your service or keeping your heart burning, all these things that we've already talked about. You got to keep that fire alive and don't let it burn out. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then so we need to see there that the Lord's always there. Now turn to Psalms chapter 39 and we'll be done. Psalms chapter 39. Now tonight, as we looked at all these things and we've had some consideration, and I hope that you've been thinking about your heart tonight and your service to the Lord. I think that some of you probably do have a burning heart for God. But I think that probably some of us, our heart's starting to fade and our fire's starting to going out. And that's why you're here. You're here to get refueled. You're here to get some more wood on the fire by preaching, praying, whatever it is, getting on the altar. And tonight I just hope that you just keep the fire alive and don't let it go out for good. Don't get out of this thing. Stay in it. And Psalms chapter 39, verse 3. Psalms 39 verse 3 says, my heart was hot within me. I hope tonight that every person in this room could say that. But I'm afraid that the majority of us probably couldn't. that our heart's not as hot as it should be, right? And whatever it is that's keeping us away from the Lord, how's your heart tonight? How is it tonight? Have you stopped seeing Christ? Are you sad? Are you stuck in the past? Are you second-guessing? You know, I hope tonight that your heart just burns with desire just to serve the Lord. That's the main thing I want you to get from tonight's message, just to have a heart to serve the Lord. And I'm going to try this because Brother Steve gave me this sign, and I thought it was a great picture, and it goes with the message really well. But tonight, I hope your heart doesn't look like this. I hope that you haven't taken a step away, and you may already be burnt out. But whatever that match is right there in the middle, in each and every one of your hearts, I hope that tonight you can get it fixed. And what I mean by that is I'm going to do this, hopefully. I tried this once too, or twice. But I tried my best to recreate this, and I tried to do it in the safest way possible so I don't burn the church down. And apparently these matches are like super matches, because whenever I tried this at home the first time, it went from here to here to here because the flame was like this big. So I was like, man, I hope that doesn't happen when I do this tonight. But if that does happen, we're going to ignore it. So just say it. And if it does happen the first time, we're going to act like it didn't, because I brought more as backups. And if it happens all three times, then I'm just going to accept defeat. So anyways, whatever it is tonight, is your heart hot, or is there something in your life that's just a little bit lower, right? It's just a little bit, you're just walking away from the Lord, or your prayer's not where it should be. And then as you start to get on fire for the Lord again, and then when it comes to that one thing, it goes out, or it starts to go out, right? So, fingers crossed. It worked. But that's how this picture played out, right? And I hope that we can all see this, and I hope we don't have smoke alarms. But what about this one? Is that your heart tonight? Were you on fire, and then when it got to doing something a little bit extra for God, you kind of stepped down and said, yeah, I'll let somebody else do it? Or whenever you were so on fire for the Lord, and you said, you know what, I might just not go to church today. I think I'll just stay home. All these things, right? Whether you're sad, stuck in the past, second-guessing, all these things, whether you're not talking to the Lord anymore, you're not traveling with Him, you're not turning your pages of your Bible, whatever it is that gets you right here, I hope you would fix it. I hope that you would say, I'm not going to step away from the Lord anymore. I'm going to take that right step in the right direction, whether it be to this altar or wherever it is, and I don't want my heart to look like this. I don't want my Christian life to end up like this. I don't want to get to the end of my fight and say, you know what? I didn't fight a good fight. I didn't keep the faith. You know, I don't want that to be any of you. I don't, because that's what this looks like. I want to be able to say I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. We're almost burned down right there. You see that? So that's my cue to be done. Look at that. That was almost bad, wasn't it? Anyways, so that's why you stay behind the pulpit when you got fired. But anyways, I hope that your heart is hot within you tonight. But as you look at this, just consider that there may be one thing that's keeping you back. And there may be one thing that's just like, I got to fix that so I can get back on fire for God. I got to fix that. And my heart was hot within me. And then, did not our hearts burn within us? I hope that's what you want tonight. I hope you want your heart to be burning. I hope you want your soul to be serving the Lord. All right, Brother Dylan, I'm done.
That one thing. What's that one thing in your life? There's certain things that you got going on. Well, you're at church